You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
As we celebrate Women's Month, it's a good idea, I think, to take stock of the current financial status and state of women in South Africa, the relationship they have with their money, and the areas that they can improve their financial standing. So we're speaking to Carla Oberholzer, a debt advisor at DebtSafe, as well as Alka Brink, financial planner from PSG, for more on this. Ladies, to the both of you, thanks so much for joining the Market Update. Carla, just to begin with you, I understand DebtSafe has done some research into the financial state of women right now. Give us more about those findings and how you would describe the financial status of women in South Africa.
Yes, Fifi. So DebtSafe recently ran the South African Consumers Financial Reality Survey, and the results that came back, there was almost 60% of the overall respondents that were women, and a younger group of women between 18 and 34 years old. And what we found was a lot of the women respondents were single, and more than 75%, and a concerning 64% of these women are also unemployed. So, you know, we can see in the country and the news and everything that's going on with unemployment, and our survey results confirmed that. And one of the concerns and the reason why women say that they are experiencing financial hardship is that they can't save due to the high cost of living when it comes to food, grocery prices, and the expenses concerning fuel.
So just for clarity purposes, when you talk about the fact that most of the women surveyed were single, you mean single as opposed to, or single as in not married, right? Not single and in a relationship.
Not married.
Okay. Okay, because yes, that, I think yes, that will be even more frightening than the fact that they are unemployed to some women, the fact that almost 80% of women are single. But you mean not married. I suppose that's also bad for some who believe in marriage. But that's a conversation for another day. So what I want to know, and I suppose what's more important, Carla, is how different this picture looks like from men. I mean, you talk about a cost of living crisis. I think maybe one or two of our listeners will be saying, but we're also going through a cost of living crisis, and we're also finding it difficult to save right now.
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, me, myself, being a woman and having my friends and close family members and seeing and feeling and having that empathy of the financial hardships and responsibilities, the various things that they juggle. And when it comes to finance, it's so much more than money. It's more, it includes emotional, psychological, and various stresses. And I think, you know, not to compare with men, but especially with our single women out there not being married, you know, within a partnership, sometimes it's easier, if I could use myself as an example, to work with the finances, to take care of the budget. But when you are single and say, for example, you're a single mother and you have to take care of your dependents, there's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. And I think it's really, truly important, especially with August and this month, to take hands and make our women's financial burdens to lighten the load and to take their hands and make, you know, them stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Two salaries are always better than one coming into a household. And especially when you look at the fact that, I mean, even as we are celebrating the milestones that women have achieved so far, there's still a lot to do in the area of pay, just given the fact that we, for most jobs, are still not being paid the same as our male counterpart for doing the same thing. But Alka, just in terms of what you're seeing there, I mean, in your role as a financial planner throughout this time, as you have been consulting some of your female clients, what has stood out for you about their financial status compared to perhaps some of the men that you also advise?
Yeah, I think there's a few aspects that you just referred to as well that women do need to take into account when it comes to their financial planning. And I think there's a few aspects we need to additionally plan for. Mm-hmm. I think one of the first components are exactly as you just mentioned. In many cases, women do still earn less than men. Mm-hmm. We also, in many cases, take a break in employment due to having children and raising a family. So there's a second component that comes to play, that you have to have the same financial outcome and the same financial goals, but you're earning less and you're working less time in the workforce. Mm. And then the last component would definitely be, I think, that women need to take into account the concept of longevity. So women statistically live longer than men. Specifically, South African women live around 4 to 5 years longer than men. So it is something in two, if I can put it in two different pillars, that we do need to address in our portfolios. Firstly, we will have a longer retirement period, so we need to save sufficiently for that. But on the other hand, you will most probably also end up managing the family as well. So being informed and being part of the process, whatever your partner is also structuring and putting in place, I think is important. I think naturally women take the role of perhaps raising the family or raising the children and being involved in that sector in the household, or that's the case in many scenarios, where I do think it's just important to also be more involved in the financial planning aspect as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, and Carla, I think it also speaks to some of the outcomes of your research in finding how many women, and these are mostly single women, also take care of dependents from their own children and to perhaps elders at home. I think it's commonly called the sandwich generation. For some, actually, a friend of mine was saying that she's quite behind in her levies because she's been using quite a lot of that money to send back home to take care of home, which is a really unfortunate position. And I suppose it's a position that leads one into a whole lot of debt and perhaps feeling strangled by it. Talk to us about the debt situation, though, and how you know that you have a debt problem.
Yes, definitely. So I just want to end what you said regarding having the dependent. So 65% of our recently surveyed participants said that they take care of their babies, infants, and teenagers, and some even indicated that they are still stuck with young adults, the failure to launch syndrome, apart from the sandwich generation that they also face. And, you know, everything piling up, it's true, debt does not discriminate, and it can happen to any woman. It might not be the choices that you made or that you made mistakes. It can be something unexpected, like a medical emergency, and things just pile up. And one thing that stood out was that women that indicated that they have debt, 56% indicated that they are behind with retail credit. And that was very interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very worrying, especially in this time of rising interest rates where that debt is even going to get more expensive. But ladies, we can go on and on and on about, you know, the problem. But I suppose what's more important that you want to share as experts in your field is the solution. So, Alka, in terms of how ladies can better manage their finances, I mean, you alluded to it a little bit more just in terms of the management of the wealth. But what are some of the recommendations that you give your clients who are, for instance, in the situation where they're behind on short-term payments, they're sitting with so many long-term payments, and saving right now is out of the question because getting past a month in itself is almost impossible?
Yeah, I think that definitely makes it difficult. And I think at the moment, we're all definitely feeling the impact of this rising inflation and fuel costs, and just the basic month-to-month costs have risen significantly. I think when it comes to a time like this, we have to go back to the drawing board, if I can put it like that. And I normally advise my clients to really go print out a few months' bank statements again and really see what you're spending money on, so you can firstly see where there's any scope for saving a little bit more, cutting down on something, and perhaps investing it somewhere. I think the principles always remain the same when it comes to saving and investing. Your greatest asset is time. So if you can just add on a few years to your portfolio, you actually need to save much less. So you actually take off the financial pressure with time if you can just have the benefit of compound interest. So I would really recommend trying to go see, even if it's just a few rands. I think we all tend to sometimes think if you're just saving a few rands extra, it's not going to make a difference, where it really does in the long run. So going back and really seeing what are you perhaps takeaway coffees too often, or is it the lunch, is it back for work or buy for work, or small things now and then that we tend to not really notice, but they really add up over the scope of a year or even longer. And from there, starting to also prioritize your portfolio. And I think what I also mentioned earlier, I think also just having that acknowledgement and responsibility of really being sure what you have in place. Personally, if you're working or not working, perhaps you're in the phase where you're not working and you're raising a family, or perhaps you are working and earning an income. But having the responsibility and the communication of understanding what provision is on the table in your household, and where that applies to you as well. Are you planning for everything, and not only investment focus, but also risk planning focus? And that would apply to medical aid and risk cover. Do you have life cover in place, have income protection in place, and the benefits that you do need to have to also protect yourself and your income you're earning?
All right. So the basic budget, or the classic budget, knowing what's coming in, knowing what you can afford to spend, and also taking advantage of the stock markets and prioritizing your portfolio. So just monitoring those aspects. And Carla, I suppose, I mean, you can be the best student at managing your budget, but at the end of the day, if the money that you are getting is still not enough for your needs, because, you know, you're having to deal with most of these responsibilities by yourself as a single lady, and it's sometimes your children, sometimes it's the parents at home, sometimes it's yourself. So you can be the best student at budgeting, but I suppose what would also help is being able to generate additional income. And I see that is one of your recommendations in terms of, you know, perhaps more of us need to look at entrepreneurship as another form of revenue.
Yes, definitely, Fifi. So I think, like Alka said, you know, you have to go back to the drawing board. If you're not gaining income, what creativity do you have at hand, and what can you use currently to up your income? Or then for those ladies that already receive an income, you know, it's tough if you expect them to do an additional or a second income, and then you have to take care of your debt and to see, okay, where can I, you know, make budget costs? So it's very important to go back to the basics to say, okay, it's income minus expenses. What are the spending leaks that I can take away? If you've done that, okay, what method am I going to use to get rid of my debt? I am upping my income with additional entrepreneurial revenues, like you've said. So if you've got a computer, you can do tutoring or editing freelance options. When you have an extra room available on the property, why not rent it out as student accommodation? So you've done all these things. What is a method that's going to work for you to also then lessen your debt, for example? So you can use the snowball method, where you see a debt amount that is not so much, where you can get out of the way first, say, for example, a retail credit, and then from there on move the snowball and go to your credit cards with high interest rates. Or if you're more a competitive type of woman, you can tackle the big guys like the credit cards and then later move to your debt. But then obviously everybody doesn't understand the industry when it comes to debt counseling. They think we are debt collectors, and that's not it. But for somebody that still receives a monthly income or some form of income, they can apply for an assessment to see if they are indeed over-indebted by a registered debt counsellor. And then it's a process that you can walk and partner with the debt counsellor to lessen your debt. So it's basically when your debt is consolidated into one, the repayment plan is lessened, so you can take care of that high living cost in the process and take care of your kids and the most important things in your life. And to be to regain financial freedom, basically,
yeah,
and to also slowly but surely then build your credit score and credit profile again.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate for most of us, financial freedom. But ladies, thanks so much for your time. I suppose you can never get too many lessons, and you can never have too much advice about money, especially in the South African context. Invaluable. Always. That's Carla Oberholzer, the debt advisor at DebtSafe, as well as Alka Brink, financial planner at PSG.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.